Welcome to episode number 87.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Road Trekking, the RV Lifestyle Podcast. No matter what kind of RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this show is for you because here we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering interesting places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RVing lifestyle. So welcome. We are honored that you chose to put us in your ear this week. This episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast brought to you by Van City RV, Reston RV, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, and Kalispell, Montana, and St. Louis, Missouri. By Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-owned RV dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. By Aldi, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. By Verizon, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE networks. By Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization. And Allstays, the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. Well, coming up, well, we've got some dramatic first-hand accounts that you want to hear from the fire zone in Alberta, Canada. Have you been following everything that's been going on there? An entire town of 88,000 people was evacuated. Everybody there was homeless and has been for about a week now, and it looks like they will be for another couple of weeks because of these massive wildfires that have devastated that part of Alberta. We have lots of information about it we want to pass along, but a couple of firsthand accounts from people who are thanking God that they had their RVs to flee to and with after losing everything in their homes, which were completely destroyed by the fire. You're going to want to listen to those accounts coming up in our News of the Week section. And we got lots of listener questions, lots of tips this week, including news of a class action settlement over fire problems affecting a very popular RV refrigerator. We've got a brand new segment that we're going to introduce this week called RV Basic Training. And we've got some tech tips and a great off-the-beaten-path report. So lots coming up in this program, and we're glad you're with us. But first, as always, I'm joined now by my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we better get packing because we're hitting the road in 2 days.
I know. There's so much to do before we leave.
I know. We say that all the time, and there really shouldn't be, because most of the time, the stuff we all need is in there. I guess we have to bring in food, but the things you got to do are like take care of the sticks and bricks house before we go.
Yeah, because it's spring. I haven't gotten everything done. Like, I had so much I wanted to do today, and then the weather was bad.
Oh, speaking of which, I forgot to tell you, I heard from the lawn people, and they can deliver 5 yards of mulch and spread it for us, but it's going to cost, so I'm not doing it. I'm getting down. I'm leaving the road.
You're skipping town, so you don't have to do that.
No, I'm taking off on the RV. We got a trip we got to do. We're going to Nashville this weekend. That's going to be fun. I'm taking you to a hot date, honky-tonkin', and the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I think there's about 8, 10, 12 people who said, we told everybody, this is the first time we've tried this. We thought, everybody always wants to know where we are and where you're going. And a couple of times, people actually gotten mad because we weren't where we said we were. So we said, well, let's not tell anybody until we've left. But this time we thought we would announce in advance where we're going. So we announced that we're going to be at the KOA campground on Music Center Drive Friday night. Probably we won't get there till pretty late. I was going to take my woman honky-tonking that night, but I don't know if we'll be there that in time. And once we get in the campground, we start meeting everybody else. It's too late to go.
And we'll have to explain why Bo isn't there, dog.
Yeah, they're all going to wonder why. We're not taking Bo because we got lots of stuff we got to do, and dog would get in the way in this trip. We've got to do some stuff after we leave Nashville. So anyway, that'll be fun. And then Saturday night, a bunch of us are going to the Grand Ole Opry. So we'll have some, we'll introduce you to everybody we meet down there. We'll do some vlog or video reports from Nashville and introduce you to everybody we see down there. I'm looking forward to going down there. It
sounds like a nice number of people.
Yeah, a dozen people are great. 10 people are great. When you get these massive things of hundreds of people or even some of those big rallies, it's really hard. You know, you end up meeting so many people and you can't stop and talk to everybody or that you never get 10 feet down the road. So these are great because you can actually visit with people and have lots of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you are too, my dear. Even though we got lots of work to do. People always ask, you know, what do you do about your sticks and bricks house when you leave?
Got to turn on the alarm system. Got to tell the neighbors we're out of town and off we go. I had a couple of African violet plants that are just knock your socks off gorgeous. And what I've learned is I get a pan of water and I put them in that pan of water and fill it up. And so far, so good.
They handle it very well.
They've lasted 3 and 4 weeks doing that.
And what do you do about mail?
The mail, we stop it at the post office. Thank you for reminding me.
Why, you haven't done that yet?
I haven't done that
yet. You're supposed to give them 3 days' notice.
I know. I'm messing up.
Oh, for crying out loud. We better get you.
I'm going to blame it on the puppy because he disturbs my sleep. I'm kind of zombie.
Puppy woke us up at 5 a.m. this morning. We won't say why he woke us up.
Well, it was my fault.
Yeah, you gave him too much water last night for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, 5 a.m.
I paid for that. I'll listen to you from now on.
Yeah, and my thing is don't give the dog any water after 6 p.m., but... oh, well, we paid for that this morning at 5. All right, you ready to get to work?
I am.
All right.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
One of the nice things about having a Class B motorhome is mobility. You don't have to tow a car behind you when you set off on your RV adventure. And when you're at a campground and you want to do some sightseeing or head into town for shopping, you just unplug and take off. But what do you do about that campsite that you're only temporarily vacating? How do you prevent newly arriving campers from thinking it's available and taking your spot? What Mike and I do is we put up a sign that says, campsite is occupied. It's a bright red sign with white lettering, and we push it into the dirt at the campsite. We got it at a campground we visited some time ago, and we've seen them at Camping World stores and at RV shows around the country. We've also seen people string a rope across the campsite, or they leave their chairs or water hose and electric cord behind. We don't like leaving anything but the sign when we're away for any length of time. Water hoses and electric cords could be easily stolen. So far, no one has stolen our sign and no one has tried to take our campsite. So it works. If you want something a little nicer and that is personalized, let me tell you about my friend, Rhonda Phipps. Rhonda makes a customized campsite flag that has your name, hometown, and even an embroidered drawing of your RV. Because they are personalized just for you, they are less likely to go missing when you're away from the campsite. They're made of durable ripstop nylon and measure 11 by 17 inches. We'll put a link to a video showing Rhonda's work on the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/87.
This part of the podcast, the tip of the week, brought to you by Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization, now celebrating its 50th year. Here's the address you got to go to. Write this down or go to the show notes and click on it. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. Now, why do I want you to go to GoodSam.com/roadtrekking? Because I want to give you a free night's stay. They've got this special deal that they've made available for Road Trekking podcast listeners that if you go there and you join, you're a brand new member of Good Sam, it costs you $25 to join for a year. They will give you a free night's stay at a campsite, one of their campgrounds, one of the more than 2,000 campgrounds that are Good Sam parks. You will get a free night's stay. So right away, that $25 membership fee, you say you get that back by a free night stay. But not only that, whenever you travel, you can save up to 30% in some cases at some of the Camping World Supercenters. They are amazing. If you need any kind of an appliance or you need any kind of an accessory for your RV, you're going to find it at a Camping World Center. They are all over the place. There are literally, I can't think of a region that we go through that we don't run into one or two as we travel. Camping World, it's the official accessory store for the Good Sam Club. But not only that, as you continue to camp, if you stay in any one of the 2,100 plus Good Sam parks and RV campgrounds, you can save 10% right off the bat on your nightly rate by just showing them your Good Sam membership card. And here's another way you save money. You save money on fuel at Pilot and Flying J stations. You all need fuel as we're driving down the road. And your Good Sam Club gives you a membership. Your membership card gives you a discount at Pilot Flying J. So gas discounts, camping discounts, a free night stay, all that for $25. But you got to go to this special site that they've got set up. It's goodsam.com/roadtrekking. goodsam.com/roadtrekking.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. This is Ron from Pittsburgh. I have a couple quick questions, but first, we love listening to your podcast, and I like watching your videos, and my wife tends to buy everything that Jennifer reviews. I get a package delivered, seems like every day, but it's all good. My two quick questions, do you have a spare tire? I do not, and I've been looking at ways to carry a spare tire, and the only thing I could find that makes it simple is there's a attachment that goes onto your hitch that carries a spare tire, and it also carries two bikes, regular mountain bikes. But my second question is, we were on our way to Hawkins Hills, south of Columbus, and I have a 2016 Sprinter chassis, Mercedes diesel, Serenity, and unfortunately I hit a deer. And I had to turn around and come back home. I was able to drive back home. But I'm looking to get a brush guard for the front. And our RVs are similar. Wanted to know if you ever looked into that, or would you know somebody that specializes in the brush guards for the Sprinter chassis? Thanks. We'll be listening. Bye.
Well, thank you, Ron. So, Jennifer, see you. People did listen to you. Their tip of the week.
Well, I better make sure that I'm very responsible with what I'm encouraging people to buy.
I know you're such a critic of these things, and I know you bought something. We bought something the other day, and I said, "Hey, do a tip on that," and you wished you hadn't. But
well, that's because
you didn't like it.
We won't.
You didn't like it. She got it at first. We got these. We might as well tell everybody because it was my idea that you do it. It was these retractable clothes bins, these hampers, and you think they're too big, and you didn't like it.
Well,
it'd be nice.
It came the day after we did the broadcast, and I was a little nervous recommending something that I hadn't seen.
Well, I bought two of them, so I think we'll use one of them.
We'll use them. Yep. You know, we will use them, but they're big.
And you can hang up. They are big. Anyway, that was really sweet of you, Ron, so thanks for that. Now, let me go to the spare tire thing. Yes, we do have a spare tire. Now, our Sprinter-based model is from Road Trek, which is we have the CS Adventurous XL, and all of the Road Trek Sprinter-based RVs have a spare tire. They are mounted underneath. There's an undercarriage mount on them, and the tire fits in there great. When you need it, you just kind of take a little ratchet, and it lowers, and you can pull the tire out, and it fits there great. I don't know on your model, you have a Sprinter, but it's made by Leisure Travel Vans, and I don't know what they have underneath there, so I'm not sure that your that kit, that undermount kit, which I'm sure you could get at any Road Trek dealer, I'm not sure it would fit because they may have, you know, wired and run plumbing where they would normally mount it. But you could find out by just going to a Road Trek dealer and say, hey, you know, it's the same Sprinter model. So can I put an undercarriage tire mount on it? Can I do that? And they'll let you know real quick. And you might want to call Leisure Travel Vans and ask them if they have one that would work and where they put it. The second thing is you mentioned that there was a trailer hitch that would let you hook one on, and it also had a bike rack on it. I really like that. That would be a great way to go. And I think that would probably be my initial suggestion to you. But as to your specific question, do we have one? Absolutely, we do. And all of the road trucks do have a spare tire. And I don't think I'd travel without a spare tire.
No, I was going to say, I was very, very happy we had a spare tire when we needed it.
Yeah. We were driving down, that was earlier this year, driving down I-75, and we hit a...
What's this we? It was me.
Yeah, well...
You're being kind.
I was actually in the back asleep, and the next thing I knew, I was bouncing off the ceiling. There was a pothole in the middle of this interstate that was 8 inches, 10 inches
deep. There was no avoiding it.
And man, did that jar it. And then about 5 miles down the line, somebody was pulled up alongside us and started pointing at it, and you pulled off, and we looked, and sure enough, the tire was almost flat. But so anyway, we were delighted that we had a spare tire and put on, and I would not travel anywhere without one, especially the places we go. We go way in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, we need a spare tire.
Now, your other question about your installing a brush guard. Boy, every truck down south and out west has a brush guard on it. And I am sure that brush guard makes one that would fit on the Sprinter. I would send you to a place called Sprinter World. Just go to sprinterworld.com. I'll put a link under the show notes for this episode. But they list all sorts of accessories and aftermarket things you can put on Sprinters. And I know they have a grill guard. And I don't know that would work well for you, but you could try that. But I think anybody that sells a brush guard, any of the stores in your area or the the auto places that sell those, just pull in, have them look at it, and they'll tell you right away whether you can fix it. So there you go. That's pretty good. I'd like to get a brush guard just because they look so cool. And we do all that boondocking, pushing down. We got one spot we go where we have to kind of push down a road and the weeds are pretty high. Brush guard would be nice to keep the front from. Oh,
the male-female difference. I'm thinking that most people wouldn't like having this brush guard thing on the front of their vehicle.
Oh, man, it makes it look cool.
And you're telling me this is cool.
This is very cool. Okay. Isn't that right, guys? I mean, you're really cool if you got a brush guard. I would put one on our family car just to look good,
Well, I think once you've hit a deer, I can see why you don't want to repeat that.
Yeah. I'm curious what damage it did.
I bet it did
vehicle.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Deer are an issue. And they're out there. We have, and especially springtime and then falls, of course, the rut, and they're always out there. But spring, they seem to be moving around a lot too. So
we have a lot of deer in our neighborhood. We see them all the time.
All right. Well, good luck, Ron. And thanks for your questions. Here's Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Mike. This is Tom in Ottawa. I'm calling because I saw a notice from about Norcold refrigerators, which are commonly used in a lot of RVs. Apparently, some of the fridges had a manufacturing problem between 2002 and 2012 or so, and they caught fire. There is some recompense for that. If you go to www.norcoldclassaction.com or call 1-877-449-8550, you'll find more information about this. Especially if you've had a fire, you should contact them. But even if you have a fridge, you should probably stop using it and have it fixed so that it doesn't catch fire, as this would not be a nice thing. Ciao. It's Tom from Ottawa.
Well, thanks, Tom. I'll put a link up to norcoldclassaction.com site. It'll be on our show notes page. And the show notes, by the way, are roadtrekking.com/87. And you say there's some recompense involved. It's $36 million.
Ooh.
$36 million for those. Now, here's the thing. If you have one of those affected units, you need to file a claim before August 26th of 2016. So that's the deadline. You want to do that before then. And they are, I'll put a link to that and you can read which units they are and for what year. But basically, I think 2002 to 2012, and you can go to the show notes page and find that out. But $36 million settlement. Most of those class action suits, all the money goes to the attorney, so...
That's the way it works.
I mean,
why there are so many attorneys.
That's right. That's why they love class action suits. But anyway, $36 million, find out if you're eligible or if your unit is affected. The issue was a pretty pretty significant one that basically there was a safety-related defect in the cooling unit, which in certain circumstances would cause the boiler tubes to corrode and then leak LP gas, which could expose, obviously, anybody around to the risk of fire. And the class action lawsuit alleged a breach of state consumer protection statutes and all sorts of stuff. So you can read all that stuff online. I'll put a link to it. And that settlement is out there, and we'll see what happens. All right, some more feedback. This Kevin Jennifer hears that we're going to Nashville, and I had mentioned, I think, on one of our Facebook posts that if we got there early enough Friday, we could go honky-tonking, but he's got some alternate suggestions for us.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Kevin from Nashville. I was listening to a recent episode where you said you're going to be in Nashville on May 13th, and unfortunately, I will not be able to join you there due to some work and other commitments, but I hope you do get to come and have a great time. The KOA where you're staying at, I'm very familiar with. It's right next door to Camping World and the dealership where I bought my motorhome. It's a good place to stay. Going to the Grand Ole Opry is something that everyone coming from out of town should probably do. But I noticed that you were planning on going to downtown Nashville on Friday night to do some honky-tonking. And you can certainly do that. Thought I'd give you some suggestions for some things that you might potentially enjoy more than that. That's a very touristy thing to do. One suggestion I would have would be the Nashville Zoo. It's small. It's under construction right now, but it is a good zoo. Also, there is Centennial Park, which has a full-size replica of the Parthenon, and it's quite beautiful. It is across West End Avenue from Vanderbilt University, which is where I happen to work and where I'm sending you this voicemail from right now. Vanderbilt University is 330 acres in size, and it's actually a nationally registered arboretum. So it is also a very beautiful place to walk around. So just wanted to give you a couple of alternatives to doing the honky-tonk thing there. But I hope you enjoy your trip no matter what you decide to do. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Isn't it nice to have someone give us ideas on what we should go do?
I know. And I don't know. We'll get there in time. But I actually think that would be a lot more fun almost.
I think it'd be a lot more fun that Vanderbilt University walking around. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, we've been actually through there. Years ago, we went through there. And I remember seeing Vanderbilt. It's a beautiful place. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. But and the Grand Ole Opry, you know what? We've been there before, but that will be really fun.
A long time ago.
Yeah. What did you say at the zoo? The zoo had a full-scale replica of the Parthenon? Huh. Why do they have that at the zoo? I don't know. They got animals in it. I don't know. I think this would be a lot of fun. So thank you, Kevin.
Yes, we appreciate that.
We do.
Maybe we should tell people where we're going to be traveling. We'll get some help.
Yeah, you know, I think that's always a good thing. You know what we should do is just sometime pick a destination, some obscure place. Or say where we are, and then ask, and then give people 24 hours or so. Give us five places to go south of here, and we could just kind of make our way and just see what people have. That would be kind of fun to do.
It would be.
All right. So anyway, we're in Nashville, and we're leaving there Sunday, heading south on I-65 back towards probably Florida, Alabama, that area.
Like if somebody came in our neighborhood, I'd recommend that they go to the Leader Dog School for the Blind.
Now, that's one of those off the beaten path.
Yes.
Yeah. Leader Dog School for the Blind. They do tours. It's really cool. If you like dogs, they can show you them. Yeah. That's
We've
really
talked
good.
About going there and doing a little video, and we should do that.
We should. The other place that we don't talk a lot about that is probably the most fascinating place I've been is Henry Ford Museum in Greenfield Village in Dearborn, Michigan. That is an incredible place.
Yeah, that's worth seeing. And to go through the Rouge River factory
tour is unbelievable. So that's in our own area. And maybe we should go do stories on that. We're always doing stories at other places. We should do it in our home turf. But all right, hey, one more came in. And I just thought this lady sounded so nice and encouraging. And I just wanted to share it. Her name is Janet.
I just have to say that I love this website, and I'm delighted with all of the information on traveling with dogs. I travel with two black labs who are about 60 pounds each, and it's sometimes a challenge, but definitely worth it. I have to thank my family, Ed and Diane, for pointing me to this website. I read it every day. Thanks so much for your great information.
Well, that's from our road trekking website. Thank you, Janet. Isn't that nice?
Very, very kind.
How do you travel with two black labs? And I wonder what kind of an RV she has. If it's a Class B. I mean, I know a lot of people in Class Bs who have two or three big dogs. Well, I don't know how they do it.
They keep each other company.
But how do you get around with two big dogs like that?
Oh, you do. You know?
Okay.
You know, I think when you have one dog, you spoil them maybe a little too much. So with two of them, they're used to sharing, just like kids.
Yeah. Well, and we did a survey on our Facebook group, and 67% of all RVers travel with the pets, the vast, vast majority of them with dogs, some of them with dogs and cats. So that was great. And we do try and keep track of that.
What's so interesting is it seems like those of us in a Class B, most of us have big dogs.
I thought they would all be, there were a lot of them with those little dogs, those little lap dogs. But
I've seen so many big dogs in the Class Bs, and I see the little dogs in the Class As.
Yeah, but there, yeah, there are.
Do a survey on that.
Yeah, big dogs. There are a lot of big dogs out there, and our dog will be about 65 pounds. He's about 40 now. That's how fast he's growing. He's about 40 pounds now, and oh, man, we're taking him on our first trip. He'll be at when we head to the road trekking gathering of the Smoky Mountains in mid-June. That's when everybody can meet. That'll be Bo's official RVing debut.
Yes, and I think I'll probably be the Bo sitter.
The Bo sitter.
The Bo sitter. I'm going to have to take care of him while you go off and have little adventures. Because you can't take them on the paths.
No, there's a couple of places you can take them. We can take them around the campground. There's a couple of paths that somebody gave us some information about. It's on the Facebook group. But yeah,
well, we know
that.
You know, when you take a pet, you're limited in where you can go. So.
Yep, that's good. All right. Well, thank you, my dear. Appreciate you being with me and helping with the questions. And let's go get ready to hit the road.
All right.
All right. This part of the podcast brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. All three have a terrific fly and drive program. They'll pick you up from the airport. They'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then your RV will be fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Here's Dan, the van man, offering up the latest specials for us.
Thanks, Mike. I'd like to remind everybody about the Road Trek May Day rebates. You can check out our inventory at vancityrv.com, pick a unit, and give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 and see what that unit qualifies for. We also have our May Day sale right here on the lot. A lot of our Sprinters are greatly discounted, and we have some nice used inventory greatly discounted this month, making room for new inventory. So give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at vancityrv.com.
All right. Thank you, Dan. And we appreciate you being with you. All right. Hey, we love to get your questions. We really do. Here's how you can get your questions or your comments featured on the podcast.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Time now for RV basic training. Tips, tricks, and how-to info to make you a happy camper.
And we are so excited to introduce this brand new segment on the Road Trekking RV Lifestyle Podcast, RV Basic Training, brought to you by a brand new sponsor that we welcome to the program. And I'm delighted to have these guys on, Campers in RV. They are the nation's largest family-owned dealership, 15 locations on the East Coast. And we'll talk about them in a little bit. But in this new segment, RV Basic Training, we are going to talk about the things you need to know that you may already know about RVs, but maybe some stuff that you don't. And also lots of questions about how to do some maintenance, how to find an RV, how to take care of an RV, how to drive an RV, lots of things. But today I thought we would kick off the whole thing by looking at the differences between motorhomes, the three basic types or classes of motorhomes, which are Class A, Class B, and Class C. Now, all of these are constructed on special chassis. They all come a little bit different sizes. They all start at about $60,000, but boy, they go up high from there. And let me just kind of give you a quick list. I'm going to put some links on here, including a free ebook that our friends at Campers Inn have on how you can shop for a motorhome and what questions you need to know to get it. I'll put a link to that on the show notes page here. And also some information from the Go RVing folks, the people behind the RV Industry Association of America, their information on the difference in motorized vehicles. But let me just start off with a Class A. What's a Class A? Well, they're big. They're really big. There are some that are typically Class A's that are a little over 21, 22 feet, but they are typically much bigger than that. They go up over 40 feet. As I say, if you look carefully, you can find entry-level ones, 60, 70,000, but they go up easily over $1 million. Many of them 200 to 300,000, the top-end ones. Beautiful units. They have a lot of room. They will sleep usually up to about six people. The larger, more luxurious models have all of the bells and whistles that you can find in a custom home, including a washer and dryer, a fireplace, separate bedrooms, lots of closet space, individual bathrooms with wet showers, separate showers. They're designed with lots of storage capacity. And many, many people make this their full-time home. They often have a real big basement underneath where you can do a lot of storage on them. You usually will see them, Class A, towing a car. They almost all now have slide-outs that will move one of the RV walls outward up to 3 feet to create larger living rooms. Many of them have multiple slide-outs. A lot of owners, like I said, want to choose to tow a small vehicle for side trips because once it's parked, you don't want to be unhooking it all the time to go back and forth. They tend to stay in RV resorts and RV parks. There are many dedicated places where you actually buy your lot. They're used mostly by folks who will sit someplace for a long time and then maybe use that towed vehicle to travel around in. So that's a Class A. Now, what's a Class B? Well, Class B is what Jennifer and I have, and that is a van, typically. They're often called a camper van. They are about 16 to 22, 23 feet in length. The one I have is just shy of 24 feet, and it's an XL or extended length unit. And Class B units will run entry level 60, 65,000 up to about 160,000, particularly if it has all of the new amenities that Class B's have. Lots of solar available now on Class B's, extra battery capacity, and you don't find a lot of that on Class A's because they add too much weight to a Class A. Class A's are already very heavy. So Class B is much more boondock friendly than a Class A. Typically, it will sleep two. If you get some extended pads that you put across the seats up front or along the back, you can get maybe three or sometimes four. The big feature about a Class B is they're nimble. They're very easy to drive. I use mine, for example, as a second vehicle oftentimes. They're really easy to park and maneuver, even taking them into urban settings, into downtown. They have all of the home-like conveniences that you want, bathroom, sleeping, dining, kitchen facilities, and there's storage. Some are on a Sprinter chassis or the new Dodge Ram chassis, you know, the ProMaster chassis, the Dodge ProMaster chassis, where you can actually stand up real easy. Many are on Chevy platforms, chassis, and you can also stand up there. They raise the roof, and sometimes they drop the floor a little bit on the Chevys, as well as there's some new Fords that are coming out as well. But you can walk around in them, and they're just very convenient. You do not need to tow a vehicle because you just unplug from a campsite and use it to run to the store or wherever you want to go. So that's a Class B. heavily used these days by boondockers who really like to get away and get out of the you know, commercial campground setting and be in the middle of the wilderness. It's easier to get these units back there. Another big thing about them is you can park in regular parking spots. If you're driving down the interstate, you can easily pull off and go into a fast food restaurant or whatever, because you can navigate that in your Class B. So what is then a Class C motorhome? Well, they're also built on usually a van frame. In many cases, it's the same frame as a Class B. Lots of Sprinter chassis out there in Class Cs as well as Class Bs, of course. You see some Fords, some 250, 350 Fords out there as well. And they're built with an attached cab section usually. You can recognize a Class C normally because it has this over the cab area that's often an optional sleeping area. And same amenities that you'll find in other motorhomes, the Class B and Class A, everything you want. Their size typically 21 to 35 feet or so. I've seen some Class Cs starting at about 45,000 up to maximum of about 200,000. They have a lot of living space in there. They'll sleep because of that over the cab extension that they have, up to 8 people. They often will have slide outs. I should point out there are also sometimes slide outs now in Class Bs, not a lot, but there are a couple models that have that. Class C people, they'll tend to tow a small vehicle, again, for short side trips, because once the motorhome is parked, it's just a little more cumbersome. It takes up, obviously, more room than a B. You'll see a lot of people towing extra vehicles with a Class C. Now, if you want a whole bunch more of that information, go to the show notes page, roadtrekking.com/87, and I will have a link to this free ebook that you can get from our friends at Campers Inn, and it will really help you shop for a motorhome and answer a lot of questions on what you want to use. So Class A, Class B, Class C motorhomes, that's part of your RV basic training for this week. And this part of the podcast brought to you by our friends at Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership, 15 locations on the East Coast. And I want to spend a little bit of time just telling you about Campers Inn, why they're such a great fix. They started out back in 1966 with Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons, Bob and David and Jeff. They literally invested their family's life savings and bought 4 folding tent trailers, and then they sold them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts. And their dream was to build this hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life. Well, it's been 50 years now, and 3 generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with these 15 different locations on the East Coast. Professional staff, certified, trained service personnel, all of them driven to commitment to continue to treat each customer fairly and with respect. You can run over to their website, and we'll have a link on the blog. You can check it out and actually meet the owner and listen to him tell the story. But this week, to kind of celebrate, and for the next couple of weeks, to celebrate their new affiliation with our podcast as a new sponsor, they have a really cool giveaway. And you need to go try this, folks, because this is well worth it. The Ultimate Camping Package Giveaway. Here it is. You get a propane, if you win this, you get a propane grill, a large cooler, 2 camping chairs, a 2-person lazy river tube, and a bunch more stuff. $500 value. Going to give this away to one of our listeners. You go to campersinn.com/roadtrekking. And Campers Inn is Campers, and Inn is spelled, you know, I-N-N. So campersinn, all one word, .com/roadtrekking. You get a free chance to win. You just enter the promo code camping. That's the promo code camping. And they're going to do this drawing on August 1st of 2016. So campersinn.com/roadtrekking. Thousands of RVs at Campers Inn, great prices, certified, trained personnel, professional staff, years of RV knowledge. These guys have award-winning sales and service, and it's all family owned, and you will so appreciate that family atmosphere. So check them out as you shop. They have every kind of RV that you would possibly want. Class A, Class B, Class C. They've got towables, everything you want to see. We're delighted to have them as a sponsor of the program, and they'll be sponsoring this segment, this RV basic training segment. And again, if you want a free ebook, you can go to, just check the show notes here, roadtrekking.com/87, and they have a free ebook that'll help you select and buy a motorhome, whatever kind you want. Figure out whether you need an A, a B, or C. Next week in basic training, we'll talk about towables, what you need to know about them. So welcome, campers in. Thanks for being with us this week.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, surely you have seen the incredible photography and video of these massive wildfires that have devastated Alberta, Canada. Amazingly devastating fires, but boy, there were two deaths connected with a traffic accident to evacuation, but no one killed by these fires. These fires swept through Alberta, Canada, pretty much last week. They're still burning out and around there, and right through the heart of Canada's energy hub. Fort McMurray is the city, a city of 88,000 residents, all of them evacuated by these fires as they just ringed the property. You could see them on both sides of the road. Look at the video. It's just stunning. Well, we had a report today as I record this on Tuesday, the 10th of May, 2016. They went in now, and the fires along the edges have sort of burned out, except for some hot spots, and they lost 2,400 buildings in this fire. But the good news is 25,000 buildings were spared, including the airport, all of the schools, the hospitals, the water treatment facilities. Alberta's premier said that she expects to have a plan to return residents to Fort McMurray over the next 2 weeks. She says it's still dangerous now. Many neighborhoods completely destroyed by the wildfires, which started at the end of April. And I'll list a number of resources you can learn more. But it's so interesting, as I have followed this, to hear the stories of the evacuees and how having an RV became a godsend to these folks. I ran into and have been talking to Amanda Arrowsmith. She is a young mom from Fort McMurray, Alberta. And I wanted to actually have her voice on the show. And she said, I can't do it. I will break down and cry. So she said, just ask me the questions and I'll type my answers and then you can read them. So I'm doing that. Here's Amanda's story, Amanda Arrowsmith, and I'll put a picture of Amanda and her husband and their little toddler son and their fifth wheel behind them. That's where they have a fifth wheel that they got out of town with. But I'll read it. I can't obviously convey the emotion in this to her, but here's what she said. Our house burnt down this week in the Fort McMurray fire, so I finally, I guess, get to live my tiny home dreams. We're staying at a lake lot in Alberta, and we've been so fortunate to have donated food and items from many different people all over Canada and the world. Our toddler's having the time of his life, and our dogs are enjoying plenty of fresh air, so we're thankful for our RV, our tiny second home, and that we all got out safe from this horrific fire. She says, they only gave us about 20 minutes to get out, and even then, we barely escaped. We had to drive off-road and pray not to get stuck to make it out. It was a poorly executed evacuation. The winds were too strong, and the fire got out of control quickly. It was a mess getting out. Being in Beacon Hill, we were both fortunate and unfortunate. Fortunate that once we escaped, we hit the highway south immediately. Unfortunate that the fire was already burning houses down while we were still packing. We had to escape by driving over the burn down to the highway. Some drivers were very, very courteous, and others were in a panic driving through ditches in fear of their lives. The smoke made it almost impossible to navigate through, and there were flames all over the sides of the highway. Those that were downtown were forced north towards the site where they were put into camps if there was space for them. RV camp she's talking about. Some slept in their cars because they had not enough gas to make it to the camps, even those with babies and small children. The schools were evacuated to downtown, and when the closed-off highway, many people were stuck heading south with their children, heading north. It was very painful for many. Those that did try to go south drove through flames and around burning vehicles to do so. People are connecting now like I've never seen. Once to safety, everyone is sharing what little they saved and helping people obtain what they need. Thousands of people have been saved off the highways by kind volunteers driving up and down the highways with gas to fill them up or offer water or mechanical services. The place we're staying is Christina Lake by Conklin. It's still relatively close to the fires, so many people have come and pulled their units out in fear of the fire coming closer. Most have fled to areas like Edmonton and Calgary to live in their trailers. I am unsure of the status of the parks along those areas, but I do know that many are in search of cheap or free areas to park until they can straighten out the mess back home and move closer back. We left May 3rd with about 20 minutes notice for evacuation. We were not prepared at all, and our trailer was not ready. When we first arrived, we didn't have a battery for our fifth wheel or a generator. We had a few pots and pans, some plastic cups and plates, and whatever else had been randomly left behind from the previous year. Because of the possibility of mice, we had removed all the blanketing and towels. The first few days before donations were received were awful. Luckily, I brought my son's blanket, but we had nothing for ourselves. With generosity of others, we now have a battery, as well as a generator, and a nice warm blanket for our bed. Having lived in Beacon Hill, which was the front of the fire, our neighborhood lost 80% of the homes, and ours was one of the unlucky ones. The RV park was the first to burn down, Centennial, she says, and many, many full-timers lost their RVs and everything in them. I don't believe they were even able to go in at all for their belongings. People can help by sending out donations, offering homes, offering to try to get people an RV for people to sleep in, donating to Red Cross, or even just offering emotional support. 88,000 people have been displaced from this fire, many who didn't get to save anything and are living with only the clothes on their backs. Many are looking for help. People have been coming from all over Canada and the world to work in Fort McMurray, which means no matter where you live, there may be just someone returning home who's lost everything. It was a mess getting out, as she said. She says there's certain areas, that items that I will miss forever. I can't get back. Her husband's wedding ring, the granddaughter's, grandmother's bone china, baby blankets. She says, but that's all stuff anyway. We're just safe, and that's all that I care about. Even if I had been able to save the teapot or a teacup or something, maybe I'll find some broken pieces in the rubble and can piece it back together. So there you go. That is the story of Amanda Arrowsmith, a really terrific young woman, young mom with her husband, who are, I will say their picture, send their picture there. And what do you do? Well, to help, I'm going to put a link to a post that we had on our Facebook group by Jim Hamill from Road Trek on how to help through the Canadian Red Cross. I'll put a link there. You can give a donation. Many of those funds are being matched by governmental agencies. I'm going to also put a link to a Facebook group called Alberta Strong, where you can read many of the surviving stories yourself. But I want to thank Amanda for sharing her story and sending us a picture to put with the show notes so we could personalize this. And also to underscore, as tragic as this was, how having an RV, not only for vacations, is also a pretty important thing in times of disaster and emergency. It's a second home. And I know Amanda and her family are very glad that they have theirs. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Aldi, the only name you need to know when you are choosing a heating system for your RV. The Aldi heating system is hydronic, and it brings all sorts of features and benefits that you can't find with any other heating system. Now, they're available now in many different RVs by many different RV manufacturers. But you want to ask for Aldi, A-L-D-E. Ask for it by name when you are outfitting your RV or you're shopping for it. Why do you want it? Well, because it's a silent radiant heat. The only way I can compare it is like the high-end radiant heat you have in expensive homes. It's a warm, even, natural heated interior that the Aldi system provides. It's so comfortable. There's no noise. There's not that rushing sound of forced air that you have in many others. It's great for pets. It's very efficient. I mean, the whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and it extends the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. It just does a great job. You can get all sorts of amenities. The one that Jennifer and I have on our Aldi system is floor heating, and that is so nice on those chilly, cold mornings or late at night. When you get up in the middle of the night, you can walk across that floor, and it's heated. It's so comfortable. A very easy-to-run system, modern, programmable, color touchscreen. You will love it. So as you're shopping for an RV, a big decision that you want to make is what are you going to have for a heating system? And Aldi, A-L-D-E, is the only name you need to know.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, lots of people love to find bargains. And as we RV around, I'm amazed at how many RVers love to go shopping at thrift shops and consignment shops and even those garage sales that you see along the road. Well, I have a deal for you. I've got some apps for you. I want to check. Three apps that make it so easy to bring the convenience of the garage sale. You can bring it right to you, to your smartphone. These are great because they all are location-based. So wherever you are, you can just open up this app, and the apps are all free, and you can see what's for sale around you with photographs. First one called Wallapop, Wallapop, great for buying and selling. You take a picture, write a short description, set a price, boom, you post it, and then you wait for buyers to get in touch. This uses your location to find what's close to you when you're shopping, so you don't have to travel great distances. You can look and it'll see how many miles whatever you're looking for is from you. You can instantly chat with this app with sellers, and you can set up, cut your deal and where to go. It's free. It works for iOS and Android. That's Wallapop. The other app that's pretty cool is called Let Go, and it's one word, Let Go. And this lets you list items. It says it takes you 30 seconds or less. So you might have some RV stuff that, you know, some various different accessories that you bought from your RV that you want to get rid of. Try it on one of these apps. Let Go says 30 seconds you can do it. You take a picture, you write a very short description, and you post it. Buyers and sellers can connect, and you can negotiate via chat through the app again. You can browse items listed for sale nearby you, and Let Go has this really cool feature. You can create kind of like a mini commercial for your items free. And the app, of course, is free for iOS and Android. And then there's one more app. This one they say is the biggest of them all. It's called OfferUp. OfferUp. They say it's the biggest mobile marketplace for local buyers and sellers. And like Wallapop, kind of like Let Go, you just take a photo with your cell phone, your smartphone, you name a price, and off you go. You fill in the details. Buyers can message sellers directly. The difference with OfferPop, it lets you use a rating system, kind of like eBay, if you're familiar with that on eBay. So sellers can have build up their reputations, and you can see who's sold a lot of other stuff and hence is perceived to be more trustworthy maybe than others. Anyway, that works also for Android and iOS. I know many of you are listening as you are driving down the road, so you hope you don't have to take notes or anything. Just go again, all this to the show notes section, roadtrekking.com/87, and scroll down to the traveling tech tip, and I have links built right into there so you can check out those apps. So there you go. Another thing that our pal Steve Van Dinter from Verizon has a great report for us. I want to bring him on in just a second. This is also the time a lot of us are doing travel to Canada. If you are going from the U.S. to Canada, if you've done that in the past, you know that you want to take your cell phone with you. But man, that those data charges because you're going into a different country can really be excessive. I mean, a lot of money. I know some have spent hundreds or thousands before they realize that it's constantly racking up data charges as soon as you cross the border. Well, Verizon has this great, great new system called Travel Pass. So listen up. If you're traveling to either Mexico or Canada, or if you're taking a world trip somewhere else, you want to learn about this thing called Travel Pass. So, Steve, why don't you tell us all about it?
Well, thanks, Mike. I hope the weather's good where you are. I know it sure has me in the mood for summer. And that, of course, means vacation season. And for about 1 in 3 of us, travels will take us outside the U.S. border over the next 12 months. However, as much as we've all grown fond of our phones and staying in touch, in the past, that could also mean some hefty roaming charges, especially when traveling abroad. Well, why did I say past? Because Verizon's Travel Pass program has now expanded to include more than 100 countries around the world. For as little as $2 per day, your voice, text, and data package from the U.S. can travel right along with you. And that means calls from the Mayan ruins in Mexico or Facebook posts from the CN Tower in Toronto count against your plan the same as if you were standing in Toledo, Ohio. To sign up for Travel Pass, you simply visit MyVerizon.com and select Manage International Services, or you can use the MyVerizon app on your phone to activate Travel Pass before heading out on your trip. Once at your destination, you're going to receive a text message that will welcome you to the country and remind you of the service and daily fee. It's just $2 for 24 hours in Mexico and Canada, or $10 for 24 hours in 100-plus countries around the world. And Mike, that daily fee is only charged on the days you use Travel Pass, so go ahead and make the world your home. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right. Thanks, Steve. And I've been using this now for a couple of months and love it. I'm always, I live not too far from the Canadian border, and I'm always over in Kitchener, Ontario. So that's at the Roadtrek factory. So it is great. For $2 a day, I can use and do all my work on my smartphone or on my iPad while I'm there, and it only costs me an extra $2 a day instead of having to turn it off as I used to do as soon as I crossed the bridge. It's a great deal. I'll put a link to the details on Travel Pass so everybody can check that under the show notes. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network, more than 112 million retail connections nationwide. They are the official supplier of all of the technology, and I pay my bill. I pay my own cell phone bills, so I could go with anybody I want, but I choose to pay that bill with Verizon because they are so reliable. And when Verizon says that better matters, they mean it. They are ranked highest in 3 leading network studies in multiple tests, and it's happening year after year for network quality performance, for network performance satisfaction. In other words, how well do the people who use the system, how satisfied are they? Overall network performance, they've done an incredible job with that. Number one in all of these categories. And you just cannot say that about any other cellular network out there. So if you're stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon. You can get unstuck for a limited time. Customers who make the switch can get a pretty good hefty discounts. There's a Verizon retailer near you. They're all over the country. Just go and find one and ask them, what can I do? How do I get out of this deal? Or why do I want to go to Verizon? And they'll tell you all about it. But they're the only ones that I use, and they're 100% reliable for me. I am so pleased with them. Wherever we go, I can only think of 2 or 3 places in the country where I've not been able to get through. And any place else, it's any other service provider, you're going to have nothing but problems because there are a lot of dead spots. Not so, I'm finding, with Verizon. Could not be more pleased. All right. So Verizon, check them out.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, this is one of my favorite places. I've got a video that I did on this place a couple years ago, and I will put a link to it under the show notes page as well. But our buddy Tom Burkett found this place, and he files a great report from Sikeston, Missouri.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. We'd like to share an off-the-beaten-path destination from a recent trip west. Sikeston, Missouri, near the intersection of I-57 and I-55, is just west of the Mississippi River. Here's where you'll find a family restaurant that opened in 1942, Lambert's Cafe. After you've ordered your favorite southern entree, we had fried chicken and catfish, servers wander the room ladling fried okra, black-eyed peas, grilled potatoes, and macaroni and tomatoes onto your plate. Then the fun begins. Every few minutes, an employee pushes a cart of freshly baked rolls into the middle of the dining room. Hot rolls, the call goes up. Diners wave, and the roll person begins to lob them across the room. Nearly the size of a softball, these delicious, steaming hot baked goodies descend into the hands of hungry patrons. Lambert's now has three locations. Rural Missouri, the place to be for throwed rolls. Bon appetit.
And they are great. One of my favorite places. Go check them out. I'll put a link to a video we did on it. It's great. Lambert's Throwed Rolls. That's Tom Burkett with an Off the Beaten Path report. If you have an Off the Beaten Path report, we'd love to hear it. Just use the leave voicemail message on the roadtrekking.com blog. If I feature your report on an Off the Beaten Path episode in one of the future podcasts, I'll send you a free road trekking hat. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Allstays, the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. This is the only app that I use for finding places on the travel routes that we take across North America. These guys are just incredible. They have been providing travel information for 16 years now with this free website. You can go to allstays.com. There's a link to it on the show notes page. There's an enhanced subscription website there with lots more features. And then their apps. I use the Camp and RV app. And I'm not the only one. It's the number one camping app on the internet. All of the data in this app is stored on the app. Why is that important? That means it's not tapping into your data every time you open it up. And if you happen to be in an area where you've got your cell phone turned off, your data part, it's not roaming, or you're out of service, you still can get information from the app itself because it's in the app that you've downloaded. But it's the app itself that is so amazing. You can find anything that you want. You can multiply. You can choose multiple things at once to look for. For example, on mine, I have it show when I open it up. I have a map that shows me where I am instantly, and then it shows me what's around me. It shows me every Walmart because you know Walmarts are where you can stay free lots of times as you're on the road. It shows me other places like I like to know where Cracker Barrels are. I like to know when I'm at a Cracker Barrel, I can look on my app and it'll tell me what side of the building the RV spots are on for us to park where you can spend the night there, you know, at Cracker Barrel. You can find any kind of a camp. You want to search it for Good Sam so you can get that 10% discount. Bam, you got a list of just the Good Sam parts. You can search for boondocking spots. You can search for truck stops. You can search for where the nearest gas station is, where the nearest dump station where you can dump the black and gray tanks on your vehicle. You can search for RV services, anything that you want to know. And it's so powerful, these apps. Works really great. And if you go to their website, if you use your laptop while you're on the road, they have Allstays Pro, which is the enhanced website with your bigger screen. And it has about 20% more of everything in it than the app has. So you can, and that is updated every day. But you need that app, Allstays. And the one I use is the Camp and RV app. It is simply the only one that I use now. I used to have a million different apps on there for RVs to find everything. This has got it all, including reviews, so you can see what other people who've stayed there think. Check it out. Allstays, Allstays, works with Android, works with iPhone. It's the only app you need for your RV travels.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
All right, I'll be out there road trekking this weekend. And for the next 3-4 weeks, I think we've got scheduled to be on the road. I'll do a lot of reports, video reports or vlogs that we'll link. You can find those through our Facebook group or we'll list them on the roadtrekking.com blog as well. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Remember, if you want to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, you can record a voicemail message by clicking on the right-hand leave message button at roadtrekking.com. It'll just let you use the microphone on your device or your computer, and then you can just hit send when you're pleased with it, and it will come right to me, and I can use it on the podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or through Google Play. New episodes released every Wednesday. I also invite you to join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday. You can sign up right from the blog and get a free packing list for your next RV trip for doing so. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendland, road trekking across North America. So long, everybody. See you next week.